Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting over across from me playing with his blocks is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Pretty women out walking with gorillas down my street. From my window, I stare while my coffee goes cold. Look over there.
Where?
Here comes Minecraft. That's what we're going to talk about.
All right.
That was my NPR version. And it's Minecraft. It's good.
Excellent. Great.
We have had so many requests, mainly on Facebook, from fans who really wanted us to talk about Minecraft. Minecraft, in case you do not know, is a game that on its surface seems pretty simple, but as you learn more about it, you realize that this is actually a pretty incredible and complex game. You just, if you look at it just based upon the graphics and the basic idea of what you're supposed to do, you would say, oh, well, there's nothing to this. But au contraire, I would say to that person.
All right.
So let's talk about Minecraft. So Minecraft started right around May 10th, 2009. So it's just over a year or 2 years old when we record this podcast.
Yes. Actually, I'm assuming that you're taking that directly from the Minecraft website.
Yes.
Which is...
And under About the Game, Minecraft is developed by Marcus Persson. It's been under development since about May 10th, 2009.
So that's his best guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Marcus actually was inspired, at least according to his website, to do Minecraft because he'd been playing this another sort of similar game called Infiniminer, which I'm pretty sure wasn't that the guy who came out of the earth right at the end of The Incredibles? No, wait, that's the Underminer.
Right.
So, no, actually it was a game about mining elements from the earth and you were, I guess, a planet. The idea was that you would, you know, dig out certain elements and you would get credit for the stuff that you dug up. Which actually sounds kind of cool. I had never heard about it until then. That was actually under development for a very, very short period of time from what I read. And as a matter of fact, it was only out for a couple months. And apparently a person had played it and liked the game. And then when it went away, he said, I'm going to do something similar.
Yeah. And the concept of mining in games is not a new one. I mean, you've got games, especially like massively multiplayer online games that have had some sort of mining and crafting capacity in them for ages. So games like Ultima Online and EverQuest and World of Warcraft have had similar kind of concepts. Minecraft, though, does this in a very simple way. Like, again, if you look at the graphics, if you haven't ever seen it, I do recommend you check out some videos. There's plenty of them on YouTube. They're very blocky graphics, very cartoonish. They seem pretty simple, but again, that kind of is a, it's deceptive because the game mechanics underneath are actually pretty complex.
Yeah, actually, when I first heard somebody request this, and I wasn't familiar with Minecraft, I looked it up and I only looked at some screenshots. I didn't really understand it. And I was thinking, well, I mean, if you're building stuff with blocks, that kind of reminds me of Lego Digital Designer, which is sort of a CAD system for working with Legos. And I heard somebody just now, one of the Minecraft fans, groaning and saying, no, well, no, it's not exactly like that.
No, it's just that
not even remotely like that. Well, it's remotely like that.
If you just look at it on the surface, though, that might be what you would think. So
exactly.
In general, in Minecraft, what you're doing is you're using various kinds of blocks to build structures and environments in a virtual three-dimensional environment. You are playing the part of a little avatar in this. And then if you're playing the beta version, which is the version that actually is getting updated and is changing over time.
It depends on when you listen to this, because as of recording, that it's in beta.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? By the time this publishes, it may have a full version out. But what happens is during the daytime, you're safe, more or less. I mean, you can fall off of a cliff and die, but more or less you're safe, and you can do things like mine for resources, and you can mine for resources not just through mining, like, you know, digging. You can also get resources by attacking, say, a sheep and gathering wool.
Again, this is not an uncommon game element.
Yeah, it's in a lot of – this game mechanics in a lot of games. But then what happens is at night, the monsters come out.
Yes, they do.
And so what you – ideally, what you do is you use the resources in the virtual world to create structures for you to stay safe in at night, while you also continue to build more complex elements. And the interesting thing to me about Minecraft is not just that you can build a castle, let's say, but you can build a castle of different materials. You're not limited to, like, this is your block. This is, you know, you use this block to build things. You know, and you might have different colors of blocks, but they all have the same properties. That's not the case with Minecraft. Minecraft, you actually can create blocks that have unique properties.
Man. According to the website.
Yeah.
There are 77 different types of blocks at this point.
Yeah,
of all kinds.
According to the Minecraft wiki.
Yes, I also visited that for my research.
Yeah, they have recipes, all right? That's what you get, like the recipes you have of combining various resources within the game and what the outcome is.
Yeah, so like if you have a block of type A and a block of type B, you can combine them to create a block of type N.
Yeah. And in this case, they said there are currently 144 recipes.
Yow.
So let's say, let me scroll down and find something that's kind of interesting.
So if you think about it, if you're not familiar with the game, you think about it, you have elements, like, for example, sodium and oxygen.
Yeah.
You could, you know, and hydrogen, and you can combine them to make elements. I mean, I'm sorry.
You can combine
them to make molecules of different something
right.
else.
Sort so of. Yeah.
Using a scientific sort of
It's more on a macro scale. But like, here's an example. Let's say you want to build a pickaxe.
Okay.
So if you wanted to build a pickaxe in Minecraft, you would need as your ingredients in your recipe, you would need some sticks.
Yes.
Which you can also create through wooden planks. But you would need sticks plus a wooden plank, or you would need a sticks plus cobblestone, or sticks plus iron ingots, or sticks plus gold ingots, or sticks plus diamond gems. So the wooden plank, cobblestone, iron ingots, gold ingots, or diamond gems would serve as the actual pick part of the pickaxe, like the pick and the axe, as opposed, and the stick would be your handle.
Uh huh.
Now, you might ask yourself, well, why would I even bother trying to find a diamond gem or create a diamond gem if I could just make a pickaxe using a stick and a wooden plank? Well, the tools in Minecraft have a limited number of uses. And, so if you're going to use a pickaxe to mine more materials, the number of uses that pickaxe has is dependent upon what the pickaxe itself is made out of.
Right. So if you use a softer metal like gold, it wouldn't hold up as well as something like iron, which is tougher.
Yeah. So if you are going for a really long term tool that you want to be able to use over and over again, you want to use the stronger materials, which are of course harder to get in most cases.
Of course.
So it's interesting. You know, it's a part of your strategy is that, okay, well, how much effort do I want to take in order to get the raw materials I need to make a tool so that I can get more raw materials?
Well, it depends on how fast you need to work before nightfall.
Yeah. And it also depends on what your eventual goal is.
Like, yes.
Do you want to create something that is functional? Do you want to create something that is decorative? Do you want to create something that is both? Do you want to create something that is innovative that no one else has managed to do yet? If you want to do that, you're going to have to really start working soon, because I've seen some pretty incredible stuff made in Minecraft. Now, talking about incredible stuff made in Minecraft, there are two versions of the game that are out in the wild.
Uh-huh.
There's the beta version, which is the one that keeps getting updates and
right.
gets new elements added into it over time. And then there's the classic version.
Right.
Now, classic you can think of as kind of just a giant sandbox.
Yeah.
You can go in and build or destroy, if you're one of those kind of people, to anything you like within a game on a server. So you can actually have a game of Minecraft playing on a server and invite the people you know to come and play Minecraft there or build on Minecraft there. And if you're using the classic system, you don't have to worry about monsters hunting you down and killing you. It's really just a place for you to play and build stuff. Now, granted, you don't have all the materials available to you that you would in the beta system because, again, classic's not getting updates. So it's going to have... You know, the amount of resources you have is set in Classic.
It's fixed. No changes.
So that hasn't stopped people from creating some pretty amazing objects in Minecraft. We've seen a few we watched some videos a few, it's been a few months now.
Mm-hmm.
But, I remember seeing one where someone created a globe of the earth, and it was huge, an enormous globe. I mean, not to scale, because that would have been a little too much.
Wow.
But yeah, it was an enormous globe, and it was fairly accurate. It was missing a few blocks because there were some vandals who showed up and destroyed some of the blocks, and you do get that occasionally. If you have your creations on a server that has got a very open policy, you're going to get some jerks in there. It's just the way the world works, unfortunately.
Not unlike real life.
Yeah, just like real life. But yeah, I remember seeing that globe, and it was really impressive. And it had a hole at the very top of the globe where you could go to the very top and fall down. And also in classic mode, you don't die if you fall off a cliff. So because the focus in classic mode isn't the game element where you're trying to stay alive and flourish. It's all about creating.
Right.
So, in this version, you could actually go inside the globe and see what was on, what they had built on the inside, which was also kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was another one I showed Chris that I thought was really neat, which was a person who was trying to build a scale model of the Starship Enterprise in Minecraft.
That's pretty amazing.
We should actually check and see if that's been updated, because we looked at it months ago and it was in a pretty good, it wasn't finished by any means, but it was going along pretty well. And this was a guy who was actually trying to create the Enterprise based off of plans from various Star Trek source books.
Yeah.
And including all the decks. So it wasn't just that he had the shell of the Enterprise there. He wanted to build it so that you could actually go inside and explore the Enterprise as if you were a crew member.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, for geeks like me, that's pretty amazing.
It's a painstaking process to get that much detail in there, though.
Yeah. I remember that he had created some way where he created sort of like a macro where he had built the frame through some weird means and then was able to import that into Minecraft. I don't remember the details. I remember it's in the video though. That was pretty neat that he didn't have to do it block by block, in other words, which would take I don't know how many hours.
Yeah.
Even so, even with that added element in where he had been able to build a lot of it automatically, it was still just the kind of like the skeleton of the Enterprise. It wasn't everything by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty phenomenal. And like I said, there are a lot of cool examples of people who have built some amazing structures out in Minecraft. But that's just the beginning. Have you seen any of the Minecraft roller coasters?
No, actually I haven't.
So there are various ways to build roller coasters in Minecraft. You can actually build rails, or the ones I've seen a lot of are they're waterways. Mm-hmm. So you build like essentially a giant water slide, and you create an enormous structure that is going to be really tall, so that the gravity of the virtual world can pull the water along. And then you create a little boat to ride in. And then you can just ride on down the whole length of the water slide. And I saw someone who created one that was huge. I mean, it took hours to ride all the way down, and it went essentially like the equivalent of what it would be to ride a water slide from New York to Georgia. Is crazy.
Wow, that's pretty impressive, though.
Yeah, it also would be. You'd have to pick a real particular time of year for that to work out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But anyway. Even then, these elements, that's still just scratching the surface. What has truly blown my mind is the fact that within Minecraft, all these different objects that you can build, among them are not just the transportation things, but the mechanism recipes. Now, mechanism recipes allow you to create electronic components or electronic component analogs within the Minecraft world.
Well, yes, but how could you possibly do that?
Well, they have designated, they being, you know, the creator of the game has mm-hmm. designated certain objects to have particular features that are equivalent to electronic features. So, mm-hmm. for example, the redstone torch. Now, torches normally they just generate light.
Yeah.
You know, they don't do anything else like that. But a redstone torch, what it does is it constantly sends an electrical charge, or can be used as a receiver transmitter when connected to the side of a block, and can also be used for low level lighting. So if you just want some low level lighting, you could do that. But if you wanted to use it as a switch, you could create it, and it creates this electrical charge. Then you create a pathway for that electrical charge to go down. You can also create levers and buttons. You can create little note blocks. You can create a dispenser, which is used to hold and shoot out items in a random order. You can create what's called a redstone repeater, and that is used in circuits as a repeater delayer or a diode. And so, you know, you've got these basic elements that are used in electronics. And if you put them into Minecraft in the proper way, you can actually create very simple computers. I've seen people who have created calculators. I've seen people who have created an actual computer by building enough of these circuits together so that it does computation. You can give it a computer problem and it'll work it out. I've also seen people use the music generating blocks, and you know there are ways where you can adjust the pitch and tone of the block. Maybe it's just the pitch, it may not be the tone, but you can adjust the pitch of that the block makes when it's activated.
Mm-hmm.
And then by creating the right set of circuits so that the electricity flows in a particular direction and order, you can create music. You put enough of these blocks around and it'll start playing in sequence depending upon the pathway you have built using these virtual circuits. You could create a music synthesizer, or you can actually create an automatic song. So, you know, you become obsessed with that new pop tune. You end up figuring out what notes that pop tune plays. You create it in Minecraft, and it's this enormous, like, it's a landscape. You're actually looking at a landscape that represents a song, and then you hit a little switch and it plays the song.
And then you put it on YouTube and everyone criticizes you for it.
Yeah. And then eventually you have Sony Music contact you and tell you to take it down because it's infringing copyright.
Exactly.
And then you say, this is transformative. And then there's a big legal lawsuit. And then Jonathan has a meltdown because of we're getting off track.
Yeah. Actually, our longtime listeners have heard that before.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, the game itself, I mean, the essential components you'll find in the creative game, the one that's set forever and ever, you know, just learning how to get around in the environment. But if you want to play Minecraft yourself, it's not hard. You will need to pay to get into the beta though.
Yeah.
Which is less than you would pay for the final version. I don't know that anyone's actually said what the final version would cost, but the game has been so successful that, Notch, as he's known, has been able to look into the possibility of hiring some people to help him out with development.
Yep.
Which is pretty cool. So, you know, you would need to do that if you were going to do that. But, once you get in, then you start to learn more about the environment that he's, created for you. Now, we've mentioned that there are many, many different kinds of core blocks, and then you can use them to build other things. You'll also find that when you move around that you have, you know, you'll see things like food.
Yep.
Which you can actually craft yourself depending on what it is that you want to eat, I guess.
Yeah. And food, of course, converts into health
right.
in the game. Because, mm-hmm. yeah, there are these monsters that are out there and they can hurt you, or you can get hurt if you fall too far, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can create weapons and armor as well to help protect you against monsters.
You can also use, create vehicles to get you around.
Yep. Like I said, with the rails, you can create minecart rails, and that's essentially what I was talking about with the roller coasters.
Mm-hmm. But what you'll encounter when you travel around, other than environmental things like that and the things that you build, are mobs. And those are the different kinds of other creatures that you're going to find as you travel around in Minecraft. Now,
yeah.
mobs could be good or bad or neutral. Sort of depends on what you're short for. Actually, it's probably mobs because it is short for mobile, according to the Minecraft wiki. So pardon my mispronunciation.
Nah, everyone calls them mobs.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Because, I mean, that's a term that's been used in various games, like
oh, okay.
not just Minecraft, but any normally it's used for monsters, but it's any creature that's being controlled by the game itself, not being controlled by a player.
Yes. Okay. Well, you can team up with a wolf if you want to. You might run into pigs, sheeps.
I don't know. I'm just hungry like a wolf.
You could also run into pigs or sheep.
Are you talking about the sheeps in the fields?
The sheeps in the fields. The cows, chicken, or
squids. Black sheep.
I don't like you anymore.
Oh, Zara.
But then you have some creepy stuff out there.
Yeah.
You might run into zombies or skeletons or spiders.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Although these are all blocky.
Yes. It is kind of funny because, you know, if you think about something like World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
And we're talking about creatures that have been designed with a huge polygon count so
yeah.
that they render, you have to have a great graphics card to render this realistically. So, and lots of memory and a high powered processor or, you know, reasonably high powered processor.
Right.
To render this so that it looks real. I mean, these creatures are roundish. They have, you know, skin. They drool when they open their mouths
they
and scream at you.
They have lots of points of articulation as well.
Yes.
So, for example, and the reason why I bring that up is I'm watching a video about Minecraft right now, and it's hilarious watching the little man run around because he has no knees.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the legs are just straight. So when they run, there's just these straight sticks that move back and forth. And you think, well, look at how sophisticated some of the other games on the market look right now compared to this. And then you wonder, well, how could this be so popular? And I think the answer to that is the gameplay is really, really advanced, and it gives you so much freedom to do various things. And it's such an outlet for creativity that people have really taken off with it, right? I mean, it's not like, you know, other games where you get to play in a world, but that world isn't your world.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, and I'll take this as an aside. And I promise to keep it short, but if you think about it, it's sort of like the Wii, intruding
yeah.
on the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3, because a lot of people who were the hardcore gamers at the time the Wii was introduced were saying, how can Nintendo compete with a processor that won't even do full 1080 lines of resolution. You know, right. we have these big screen TVs and they, you know, it's not going to look as good. It only has, you know, DVD level resolution, 720. And it turns out that the gameplay, and using the Wii Remote was innovative enough and cool enough for so many people that they bought it, even though it wouldn't do as high a resolution as you could do with these other machines. And I think that's what works for Minecraft, is that the gameplay, is sometimes ignored in favor of, really hot graphics with all kinds of things in enormous worlds. But if the gameplay isn't there, the game isn't going to do as well. And Minecraft, being an independent game developed, you know, initially by one person, is doing amazingly well because of the gameplay and because it's got, you know, you have certain simple elements and then there's an underlying complexity of the world that just makes it irresistible to some people.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's gotten so big now that there's a real community around Minecraft.
Oh yeah. And they've all been sending us comments on Facebook.
Yeah. It's not just people who are playing Minecraft. There are people who are getting together mm-hmm. to do, big events. Like there's the Minecraft Con. Minecraft Con 2011 is taking place in Las Vegas.
Really?
Or at least I think that's one of the choices that they were looking at. And so it's I don't think it's set in stone yet. I think that's according to the World of Notch, which is the official blog for Minecraft.
Right.
That's the main choice right now is Las Vegas. But then there's a lot of people who are saying, hey, but I want to go to, I want it to be closer to where I live. So put it, you know, somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And so they're talking about, like the possibility of it being this convention of Minecraft players who all get together and share notes essentially mm-hmm. about things that they've created and ideas that they have, both for what is possible in the game right now and what might be possible in the future. There are new elements being added to the game all the time, including things like environmental elements. So it's not just a static world mm-hmm. That only has daytime and nighttime. There are more elements to it than that. But
I wish you'd never shown me that BBC video with the animals. Because anytime
daytime,
somebody said
nighttime, daytime, nighttime.
Anyway,
Steve. Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon to me. I'm wondering, you know, you mentioned the connection to Nintendo, at least as far as gameplay is concerned. What I'm wondering is if Minecraft can avoid the pitfalls that Nintendo fell into, which is that Nintendo had a problem in that people would adopt it really quickly. Casual gamers adopted the game. But one of the issues about casual gamers is they're not the kind of gamers who will go out and buy the next game as frequently as hardcore gamers do. Mm-hmm. Like casual gamers, they don't play the games as often, as frequently. So they might have a collection of four or five games, and that's good for them. They're fine because they don't play it that frequently. They're not getting tired of it, or they may just forget about the system entirely, and it just kind of sits off to the side. It doesn't get played very much. And then the problem with that is that Nintendo doesn't have an ongoing stream of revenue because they're not selling games. Part of that issue, players might argue, is that Nintendo kind of hurt when it came to compelling games for the Wii. Mm-hmm. There just weren't as many of them out there as there were for the other systems, according to some gamers. I happen to be one of those, but I'm just saying, I know that there are other points of view out there too.
Right.
But if Minecraft can avoid that, where you don't have people suddenly lose interest, or maybe not even suddenly, but gradually lose interest, and then the game just kind of suffers for it. If they can avoid that, I would really be curious to see what comes out of this game in the next couple of years, because what it really tells me is that there are some incredibly creative people out there.
Yes.
Who are really, really good at thinking
outside the box.
I didn't want to use that, but then I realized it was too late.
It's outside the cube.
Yeah, outside the cube. And, you know, like I said, if you want to really see what's possible in Minecraft, just go to YouTube and type in Minecraft, and you're going to see dozens and dozens of videos, some of which are, you know, some of them are going to be those typical little videos where you watch it and you're like, I don't even see what the point of that was. But there are other ones that are really, really impressive, where people have built these complex mechanisms where you hit a switch on one side of the map and a door all the way on the other side of the map. And these maps can be enormous. Mm-hmm. A door on the other side of the map opens and you think, wow, that's, you know, it took a lot of work to create that. Now, you might also ask, what was the point of that? But, you know, that's another element. I mean, I would be curious to see if they start building into in things like creating a device that triggers something essentially wirelessly. Mm-hmm. Like you create a transmitter and a receiver, and they are unique to one another. So only one transmitter will activate a specific receiver. Mm-hmm. And then you put that receiver on a device where when the receiver receives a signal, it triggers an electric chain of events that will cause something to happen. Would be a cool thing to add in there.
Yeah, definitely. Will it help you fend off the spiders?
I was thinking of a thing that when you hit a switch, then across the room, Funky Town would play. And spiders love dancing to Funky Town. So you could actually distract them long enough to squish them.
There are records in Minecraft.
Yeah.
And you can put them into a jukebox.
Yes, you can build a jukebox.
And play music, which again, I find that fascinating. So yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see. There are a lot of games, indie developed games that, have provided a good launching pad for other series or for the career of a developer. I think it's safe to say that Notch is probably going to get a lot of attention out of the Minecraft phenomenon, because yeah. I don't think it's even remotely close to being extinct at this point. I think it's still on the rise and will be time to come.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's right now, I would say it's still kind of a fringe thing that Minecraft hasn't reached full-blown awareness in the market. It's more so than when I first discovered it ages ago, but it's one of those things that I think it's still kind of a relatively small community of the potential community this game could have. So I'm sure that over time we're going to see even more people discover and adopt this game and create even more amazing creations in this world. And not to mention the fact that, you know, you're going to keep seeing the world itself evolve over time, and You'll have to be more creative, because
yeah.
the game will become more and more difficult to navigate if you don't engage those creative muscles in the old noggin.
So yeah, I definitely think that this is something that has a lot of room to grow. I wonder if it's something that you could see on consoles, perhaps, as something you can download. You know, or maybe even acquired by one of the major developers. I'm sure, again, I just heard some of the Minecraft fans out there who prefer it.
No.
Yeah, no!
Well, I mean, you know, it bears some similarity to some other games that kind of got the strong community around them, like Little Big Planet.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of that as well. So I could definitely see the potential for consoles to be interested in it. Although, depending on the executives for those consoles, right? Because if the executives are all tied up about graphics and that right. kind of element, like, I want it to look really, really good. It has to look state of the art. They might not be able to get past the fact that these characters are much more blocky and almost comedic, really, in their appearance.
Right.
But that simplicity is deceptive, like we've been saying. So maybe there's some executives out there who can look past the blocky aspect of this game and see it for what it really is, and then who knows, you might be able to get a cool version on one of the console games. Although the problem you have there is, how do you host the worlds? Do you host the worlds, like, do you have it where you would be able to create servers like you can in Minecraft, or would everybody share in the same big virtual world? Because then you would the troll problem becomes enormous.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe you have a region in that world that's just yours, and you can give keys to the people that you like, and they can come and check out your stuff. I don't know. I mean, these are problems that I would be thinking of, because I would hate to spend a lot of time and creativity in building right. something, and then come in and log in the next day and just see that some jerk had gone in and totally taken out half of it.
Right. Yeah.
I'm looking at you, jerks. You know who you are.
On the other hand,
yeah,
I would never have expected Angry Birds to do as well as it has and be available on all the different platforms it is, especially since it is, as many
sure
people say, a clone of a different game.
I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to say the name out loud, or else it summons them.
The birds?
Yeah.
Or the pigs?
No, maybe.
At coincidence, does, you know, Minecraft has pigs?
There you go. It's all part of a plot.
It is.
It's a swine plot. All right. Well,
that's the way the swine flew.
You know, I was about to say, that's the weird thing about Angry Birds. It's not the swine that flew. Anyway,
yes.
We're going to wrap this up because we're getting a little loopy in here. So you guys, if you have another specific topic you want us to talk about, and if you have not seen Minecraft, I do urge you to check it out. It is pretty neat.
It's neat.
You know, it's especially for people who like to build stuff. It's neat for you guys. So all you guys out there who love Legos and things like that, check it out because it's got a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a specific topic you would like us to cover, you can let us know on Facebook and Twitter. Our handle there is TechStuffHSW, or you can send us an email. That address is TechStuff@HowStuffWorks.com. And Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's brand new, season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Badatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.